Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3 the game on this Thursday. Hope you're having a great start to your day so far. We're live. Titans training camp once again. Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. They will have another day of joint practices with the Seattle Seahawks. JoJo is here. What's up?
What's happening, man? Yesterday was odd because it was the joint practice. You look forward to it. There was just not a lot of energy out here. Was that just me?
I don't know. I felt like it was here.
I didn't feel it, man. I didn't feel the energy yesterday, but maybe that's just me, pal.
Well, it'll certainly be here today. Coach Jeff Fisher is here.
I see him
hanging out
there
with everybody. So good to see Coach back here at the facility that he spent so much time at over his career.
He did. Spent a lot of time in his career here getting things done. So is it weird being back over? Because his last year was 2010.
Yeah.
So
he's been back a few times.
Yeah, I'd still got to be surreal, though, come back over here.
I remember the first time Floyd came back and he was talking about that, like, that, you know, it had changed, but it was also the same and just kind of the nostalgia that hits you.
Right.
Coming back. So, you know, I'm sure there's some of that. Dr. Crane is with us. He's at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Hello, Dr. Crane.
Good morning, gentlemen. Seems like you guys are not at the heat part of the day yet. It did kind of chill for the most part.
Yeah. Well, it's a little warm. I got a good sweat going. You know, I had to set everything up. So
yeah. Chaser's getting it done, man.
It was good. I'm hoping to, you know, the allergies have kicked in and all that stuff.
Sorry,
so I'm hoping
pal.
To sweat all that out.
Because you were at Creed of the night till 3 o'clock in the morning at the after party.
No, it wasn't that. So. I think it's just that time of year.
I think it's good. You can admit you're a mover and shaker. You go to a lot of big things, so they can make things happen.
I'm tired of doing things. I am like at that, I've hit that time in my life where it's like, hey, do you want to do this? I'm like, you know what? No.
It's like somebody's, hey, you want to meet up at 9 o'clock? I'm like, what are you, on coke? I'm not going out that late. Are you crazy? Make it 4 o'clock and we're done by 7.
That's pushing it.
Yeah. As I tell people, man, if you can invite me somewhere, if I can't find Apple parking, I'll circle around and just go back home.
My mom texted me yesterday and was like, do you want to meet for dinner? And it was like 5:15. I'm like, yes, I do. I am in.
Right.
That means I'm home by 7.
Yes. I love it, man.
It
You're
great.
Getting there with us.
The earlier, the better.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Well, is that how Nani rolls?
Yeah, that's kind of how everybody rolls around that confine. It's 5:15, 5 o'clock. Sometimes we eat dinner at 4:30. Sometimes, I mean, if that does all line up. But
Nicky, it's time for dinner.
Nicky,
that is
what
exactly.
Does she call? She calls you Sunshine, right?
She does call me Sunshine. She
call you Sunshine?
She does.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm jealous. You know, my grandmother hated me. So the fact that your grandmother enjoys you and cherishes you is fantastic.
Well, I give all my friends this option. She is the neighborhood grandmother, so she is open for everybody.
Good. My grandmother loved three things: Jimmy Carter, non-filtered cigarettes, and Wheel of Fortune. That's all she loved.
My grandmother loved Wheel of Fortune.
She hated me.
She loved me. She loved. It was funny. So my dad's mom was a twin.
Oh, okay.
And so her and her twin sister, before she passed away, they would go over to my grandmother's house every day to watch Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
And they would have their bourbon and water.
Love it.
And watch Wheel of Fortune. And it was like, when 6 o'clock rolled around, if you weren't ready to watch Wheel, as they referred to it,
right,
get out.
Get out of here.
I had to watch Wheel.
What'd you call your grandma?
Ma-ma-ma.
Excuse me?
Ma-ma-ma.
Ma-ma-ma. Ma-ma-ma. Chase is on fire. Well, I'll deal with him at 6:30.
when Wheel's over.
When we're done with Wheel of Fortune and get it all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, so that was a funny story of my dad. So he wanted me to be all fancy and call her Grandmama. and it just came out, ma, ma, ma.
That was before Larry Johnson was grandmama.
Yeah.
That's very cool then. Yeah. Dad's on the cutting edge. All right, so there's a lot going on today. I want to get our sports question of the day out there. And this is all our good buddy Ricky Merritt. Came up with this a few weeks ago. We're just looking for the right time to do this. But I'm curious, you know, coming off the Olympics, and there were a lot of great photos, what do you think is the greatest sports photo of all time? And there are probably two iconic ones that we'll talk about, but I'm just curious, off the beaten path, what do you think is the greatest sports photo of all time? Chaser, what's your favorite sports photo? And 615-737-1025, hit us up and let us know what you think the greatest sports photo of all time is.
Well, I mean, my favorite is Dale Earnhardt holding the Harley J. Earl Trophy after finally winning the Daytona 500.
Ah, that's cool. I like
in
that.
In 1998. I mean, there are a couple of different photos from that, but he's standing on top of the car with his arms raised in the air, and like he does the interview and goes, "We finally did it."
Yeah, I vividly remember that. Yeah, that's a good photo. I like that. Yes.
And the other one is when he's bringing the car down pit road to go to Victory Lane, and every team is standing there to shake his hand.
Yes, yep.
And congratulate him.
There's that elevated really shot cool. from behind. He's going down, and they're all like leaning.
Yeah,
give him a high five. That's a great shot.
And they did that to Junior when he won, when they went back to Daytona.
Oh, that's
which was
cool.
Pretty cool.
That's cool. I got to think, you know, my favorite, and this is one probably a lot of people, again, talk about, was Michael Jordan at the dunk contest. I think it was in Chicago, 87 or 88, right in that time frame. And you see Pat O'Brien. But the best part about that photo is, you know, Jordan took off, I think, from the free throw line. He's in the air. His tongue's hanging out. Not a single camera in sight. Every eyeball, every face on Jordan. You got the players on the bench who are looking at him. It is truly, to me, the perfect sports photo of all time when Michael Jordan's doing that. Yep. I had that poster in my room for a long time. And my second favorite poster was I had a well, not poster, but it's a, I know it's not a photo, but I had this picture of Dwight Gooden and Dale Murphy in New York City, and they're playing stickball. And it's just both, and it was like, I was like, this is it, man. But as far as sports photo, it's the Jordan dunk. It's got to be for me.
Well, Michael Madison brings up one that I think you referenced. Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston.
That's
probably the one.
That is the iconic photo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bobby Orr flying through the air. Brian says that.
Yes, that's a great one.
That's a good one. Marlon from Murfreesboro, Babe Ruth using the baseball bat as a crutch in his last appearance at Yankee Stadium.
Is that the pitcher from behind him?
I think so.
That he's standing there and he looks out at him and everything? Yeah, that's a great one. These are great. Thank you.
Graham says Tony Hawk's 900. I think I remember that one.
What? I don't know
what that means, but I remember a big Tony Hawk photo. Josh says the Four Horsemen from Notre Dame.
What are they on the horses?
Yeah, maybe.
Or is it during a game? I don't remember.
I had another one for Ollie and Liston. So 615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh in on our question of the day and everything going on with the show. People have asked me, you know, now that I'll get into this a little later. Now that NASCAR's made a ruling.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give my thoughts on that. So we'll do that for sure. The Miracle on Ice celebration, Blake says that. 7655, the three-car spinning in the Daytona logo after he won the 500, or Elway holding the Lombardi trophy. I think the Elway one is the helicopter.
Yeah, where he goes and gets the Packers in the Super Bowl and they spin him around. That's a great shot.
Yeah.
That truly is. There's an old school photo of, and I'll tweet it out in a little bit, of Frank Gifford got laid out. I think it's by Sam Huff in like the 1950s. And Gifford looks dead. He's just kind of laying there, and Sam Huff is over looking down on him. And it was one of the biggest, baddest hits of all, legal hits of all time. But it was like the first true football, pro football photo. And I'll find that and tweet that out. It was an amazing photo and it was an amazing hit when we laid out Frank Gifford.
Phil, on our text line, I was on shrooms in college at a frat house. They had the Jordan poster on the wall, and I couldn't take my eyes off of it. Jordan started floating through the air on the poster, and I could hear the crowd cheering.
Yes! Good job, Phil. Is that your buddy, funny. Phil?
That's not that Phil.
Oh, okay.
Evel Knievel jumping over the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And I think he, what, the parachute and land at the bottom because he didn't make it. Is that correct?
Yeah, baby.
Something like that. Yeah. What was the Simpsons, Murdoch, what's his name on the Simpsons, the daredevil guy?
Yeah, Lance Murdoch.
Lance.
And then Homer tries to do it on the skateboard.
Yes.
Or, well, Bart was going to do it, and then Homer ends up doing it.
Yeah, he says, I'm going to make it.
And then I'm the king of the world.
He falls straight down.
So funny thing about that is, you know how the ambulance hits the tree and then he falls back down?
Yes.
One of the most subtle but awesome things that the movie did was they show the gorge and the ambulance is still crashed up against the tree.
Oh, yes.
Keep these coming. We'll get to these and much more. 615-737-1025. We're live today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park for Titans training camp here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. 1025, 1063, the game.
Making your way in the world today.
Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. We're live at Titans training camp. They'll get practice going around 10 o'clock with the Seattle Seahawks, another day of the joint practices. It's funny you brought up you just didn't feel the energy.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
I didn't.
I do know that in reading like some people's thoughts that, reading people's thoughts on it, it was just like, yeah, you know, it kind of felt meh. So maybe today we'll have a little more jump.
But you
it.
Didn't feel that.
I mean, what I saw, I was like, I thought there was some juice, but yeah. I didn't get to see a whole lot.
I guess I'm comparing it to joint practices from years going by. Like when the Patriots came out here in 2019, it was electric. And I know because Tom Brady was here in Belichick. I get all that. But I've seen the Dolphins come through here, you know, years again. I think Tampa was here. There was a lot of electricity, a lot of buzz, a lot of yapping back and forth. And I didn't see that yet.
I know Jamal Adams. I heard Jared say that Jamal Adams was doing a lot of chirping yesterday, which, you know.
Well, he's going to because his old teammates are in town.
Right. You would expect that.
Yeah.
So. Some of that. Our question of the day is the most, in your opinion, your favorite iconic sports photo. 615-737-1025. Charlie wants to weigh in. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. This is probably my favorite because I was in first grade, and it's the first football game or pro football game I can remember watching beginning to end. But the Joe Montana and Bill Walsh, right before the kick, kneeled down, like, drawing the play up in the dirt. And on the other end, the picture of Dwight Clark reaching up and catching the catch. You know, those two kind of go hand in hand to me.
That is a fantastic, because that was right before the catch with Dwight Clark in the 81 NFC Championship game. Yeah, that's great. They're just sitting there just like two dudes in the playground drawn up in the dirt, man. Yeah, you know, what's funny is that Bill Walsh, I think, is – quite possibly, and he won't go down this way, is the most influential head football coach of all time. The offense he brought, the championships he did, the coaching tree that he had,
yeah.
Bill Walsh was amazing and does not get enough credit. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, can you basically say every modern-day NFL coach, you know, from like the mid-90s on, can, you know, is a derivative of
– Yeah, Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Gruden. I mean, all those guys were part of the West Coast, although they probably didn't coach with him, but they coached with a guy who coached under Bill Walsh. And so, but that is a great photo. They're just kind of kneeling there. And I don't know how that photographer got the access because he's like right next to him to do that. So, yeah, that's very cool.
That's a good one for sure. All right, so in day number two, and we'll keep these answers coming. We'll get to it. In day number two of joint practices, what are you looking for? Do you think it because as we just talked about, it probably is going to ramp up a little bit.
What Nick Holes told us yesterday?
Holtz.
God, did I get it wrong again?
Yes.
Can we put a T in his name just for my sake?
That's even what it says on the website. It says it's pronounced Holtz with a T.
I don't go to websites. I'm not allowed to. I think what he said about the mental aspect for Will Levis out here, you know, seeing things that you're not prepared for, kind of improvising and ad-libbing things going on. Dude, that I'm always curious. Look, the one-on-one drills with receivers and DBs, that is so slanted towards the offense, it's not even funny. Those aren't fun for me. But the one-on-one drills with Latham and the D, I mean, because You're on the same level, though, with the defensive line, and the same for the defensive line for the Titans going to the Seahawks offensive line. I like to see the Titans, both lines, get after it today and dominate. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I have, you know, a battle in the trenches. I agree. I mean, and, you know, I know a lot of people said that Titans offensive line looked decent yesterday. I mean, if this is going to be the group that they're going to roll out there, you know, Raiden's at right guard, Petit Frere at right tackle. Obviously, we know what the left side and Cushenberry looks like. If that's what it is, I mean, right now they've looked decent.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you know, you want to get that camaraderie together. You know, we had Skoronski on last week. It was like, you know, what's that dynamic like with you guys out there? And he's like, you know, we're learning, you know. They've never played together because we're learning each other's techniques and figuring things out and, you know, cadences and body language and all that. It's a work in progress. But that's what I like to see today is the interior lines on both sides dominate.
Yeah, I hope so too. You know, I want to see what Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat, those guys do, you know, on the defensive side.
Yeah, because we're not going to see them Saturday. And we're not going to see Simmons Saturday, I don't
think. We'll see Sweat, for sure. Yeah.
For sure.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, I know all that. But that'll be, that's what I see. And, of course, it's still win the one-on-one battles as much as you can against the Seahawks in every way possible. But that's, just get working, you know. And like Holtz said, of getting Levis out there and different looks and the reaction time and making things happen and moving the ball down the field. That's exactly kind of what they wanted from top to bottom.
Larry in Columbia just sent this on our text line when talking about iconic sports photos. How about that one? Willie Mays, the catch.
Oh, yes. Think about that too, man, because you had to – and I'm not a professional photographer, but – you got to click that just right because you can't do the click like you do today. Yeah. You know, you got to get that just perfect. And then so, man, that's something else. That's a great photo.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Ben says, I have two most iconic sports photos, 2001 Masters Tiger Woods, and the second is Wilt Chamberlain 100 points photo.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I got to see the one Wilt Chamberlain photo.
I think another one for Tiger is the – U.S. Open when in what 08 when he had the torn ACL.
Yeah, that's right.
Right after he wins it.
What about the ball on the edge of the cup? Was that the 05 Masters?
I think it was 08.
That's the 05,
yeah,
right?
Maybe.
Is that the one?
I don't know.
Was it? I think it was 05, pal.
That's right. You're right, Joe. My bad.
Do you know? I'm telling you. You and Chase and the speaker, Connor Newton, need to know this. I haven't been wrong since 84.
I know. You like to say that.
No, I'm telling you. So once you guys realize that, how I'm never wrong, we'll have a good show. All right? Let's move forward on this. All right, before we go any further, will you please explain the NASCAR thing?
Sure. So yesterday NASCAR put out their penalties and – basically what they said with Austin Dillon is he keeps the win, but it doesn't count towards his playoff eligibility. So when you win a race, it puts you in the playoffs. They've taken that away from him because he wrecked two guys to get the win. And so now he's not in the playoffs.
It's just unprecedented.
No. I'm surprised they did it. I kind of think they gave in to the pressure, and in some ways they had to do it. Like I get it, and they fined Joey Logano pretty heavy too.
I watched that video of Logano going down.
Yeah, that was pretty uncalled
for. I mean, he could have killed somebody.
Yeah, that was. I don't know what he was thinking. I get being mad, but you know you got to be better than that,
right?
So basically, the win doesn't matter. So he doesn't qualify for the playoffs. Now, if he wins in the next couple of races, he will. But,
okay.
So NASCAR's now set a precedent that, you know, they're trying to get more control over all this.
All right.
And so they have to hold to it. Now, my thing is that it takes so long to get to that point. If you felt like it was controversial, and we all know that it was, then you just say, hey, this is under review. We'll have a ruling within 24 hours.
Okay.
You don't have victory lane. You don't have all that. But
you know, this is ultimately what they decided. So, I mean, I think they had to. They got it right. But it also shows you that they continue to kind of figure it out as they go. And that's always kind of been the knock on things when it comes to NASCAR.
So you're good with what happened with him?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was probably going to happen.
All right.
So just kind of what it is.
All right. Well, I mean, I saw the video of him going straight down pit row. I'm like, this is not good. This is Logano doing that. This is not good.
No. Yeah, the Logano thing was completely dumb. I don't know what he was thinking.
And there was some kid who was out, like, shaking or doing something, and he looked at the last second and saw Logano and was able to get back away from all that. But, man, yeah, that's something else. So let me ask you this, though. Is it good for the sport?
Is what good for the sport?
We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And they're going to, you know, that's the hypocritical part of it, is they're going to use that footage of Austin Dillon wrecking those two guys, you know, for promotion. But, you know, he ultimately doesn't keep the win. He's going to appeal it, but we'll see. 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in on our iconic sports photo. What's up, Adam?
You want to know, I got a couple of crazy ones, man. Dale Earnhardt being pushed into that wall, like, that photo still, like, makes me super sick to think about. I was talking to a kid when Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear, and I could still see that ear flying in the air. And it is a gross image for a kid to think, like, what just happened? Like, you have no idea when you're younger what happened. So that one right there still kind of burns with me.
Yeah, those are good ones. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Adam turned him to Optimus Prime there for a second.
Yeah, only we heard that, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So don't even bring it up.
It made me laugh.
We're live today at Titans Training Camp. Continue to weigh in on our question of the day, 615-737-1025. We'll have more next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Thursday, a TV-themed Thursday.
It is. All right, Chaser, before the Titans and the Seahawks hit their joint practices starting at 10 o'clock, guys are warming up on the field right now. I've got a list, Chase. Last time each SEC team achieved 10 or more wins in a season. Chase McCabe, when was the last time the Vanderbilt Commodore football team had 10 wins in a season?
When was Franklin's last year? 2011? 2012?
According to this list, Vanderbilt's never had a 10-win season.
Really?
Yes.
Did that get him to 9?
I think he did.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 8-4 when the playoff go 9-4?
Yeah.
They've never had a 10-win. I did not know that.
Okay.
Tennessee Vols. Last time the Tennessee Vols had a 10-win season.
Was it last year?
2022, my friend. They knocked off Clemson in the Orange Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh
my goodness.
Out here.
Look at this. Coach Tim Hasselbeck is here. Coach Matt Hasselbeck.
How are you,
buddy?
Good to see you.
What's going on?
They walk in like from the outsiders. Like, they're all like, yeah, they're coming to kick some tail, man.
I see Innsworth, and all of a sudden, here's the Hasselbecks.
Oh, man.
You never know who's going to show up.
Chest out, strutting. All right, so Tennessee 2022. So the last time Florida had a 10-win season, Chase McCabe, do you know?
Florida.
Uh, 2019. Good job, pal. Well done. Here is...
So Tennessee was 22.
22.
Yeah.
Cornelius, okay. Vanderbilt, never. Texas A&M. The last time Texas A&M... Now, if you think about it, you'll get it. Last time Texas A&M had a 10-win season.
2020.
Incorrect. Think about it. The guy now is on a mea culpa tour.
Jimbo?
Their quarterback.
Oh, their quarterback. Oh, Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So, shoot.
2012?
2012.
12?
2012. The last team. All right, so Vanderbilt, according to this list, never had a 10-win season. Arkansas is the one that's had gone the longest time without a 10-win season. Last time
that's
Arkansas.
That's probably, what, 97?
Incorrect. 2011.
Okay.
Was the last time. Now, Bama, Georgia, LSU, Mizzou, Ole Miss all had those. South Carolina is up there, too. 2013, last time South Carolina had a 10-win season.
The old
season.
Ball coach.
Yeah. So, it just – look, this doesn't mean, like, oh, my God. It just – it's competitive in the league, man. When you got to play eight conference games, you got the four gimmies, which every team should have those gimmies. James Franklin was masterful at saying, we need to get out of these games against these other teams.
Yeah, didn't Vanderbilt have one with Ohio State scheduled? And he was like,
yep,
no.
Yep. And he griped about the Northwestern game. Look, Kentucky did it for years. You get three non-conference wins, boom, and then you beat Louisville, right? You play the in-state rival. You got there's your four wins. Squeeze out two conference games. You go to a bowl game.
You know what? Speaking of that, there's a game that I don't know why it's not on the schedule almost every year. That makes so much sense, but for whatever reason they won't do it. Vanderbilt and MTSU should always play.
I totally agree. But let me ask you this: what's in it for Vanderbilt? That was always the argument. Same thing between why doesn't MTSU and TSU play? What's in it for Middle?
Right. Well, and the thing about Vanderbilt and MTSU is every time they play, Middle finds a way to beat them.
Not lately. I mean, the first couple times. But they didn't beat him when Stockstill was there. That was the thing. But it's the thing of, like, now it's the benefit. What does Vanderbilt have to get from playing Middle? Now, it'd be great now with Derek Mason down there.
Sure.
Be a lot of fun, but that's
you know he has to want to.
Oh, 100%. And then get the football and throw it on a friend of ours' face. They would do that. So, yeah, there's just – you got to look at now what's in it for me. You know, a lot of these schools don't have to because the SEC network money's coming in. And you just got to go out and win those games against the teams that you know you can beat. But that's the thing, you know. Last year when – you know, Missouri played Middle, you know, and Middle almost beat Missouri up there. And the thing was like, you know, what's Missouri getting out of this? You're paying $2 million. Like when Middle beat Miami, what did Miami get out of that? They thought they were going to get a cupcake.
They got
win.
Embarrassed.
They got embarrassed, ended up paying $1.6 million or $1.5 million to Middle for all that. So now it's got to be, what's the value? What am I getting in return for this? That's why I love MTSU playing Tennessee Tech, is that, again, it's like, well, it's an old school rivalry from the 40s, 50s, and 60s that everybody remembers that grew up here, which is great, and that kind of thing is fantastic. But as far as a Vanderbilt Middle, I don't think there's no value for Vanderbilt and all that.
Yeah. It would just be cool, you know, for those of us around here.
I love it. And
I mean, what is
– yeah.
Look, let's if we're going to just ask it this way, what does Tennessee get out of playing Vanderbilt? Yeah, I know they're SEC teams, but –
it's in the if you break it down that way, but it's a conference game, and that's what you get out of it. And it's a rival that's been around for so long. But like going back to Vanderbilt, I still got a problem with Vanderbilt going on the road to Georgia State. Who signed off on that? Who signed off on Vanderbilt going to Georgia State? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
It's great. Virginia Tech's coming here. That's fantastic. I think Alabama A&M shows up after that. That's a home game. But then you go to Georgia State. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Don't say a home and home. No, Georgia State, you're not on the same level as Vanderbilt. You come to us. That's how it goes.
1564 says MTSU and the under, book it.
Against or
Vandy.
Oh, Vandy.
Last home and home with Vandy in Middle, Vandy romped, if I recall. Yeah, you're right there. But I mean, there were a few early on where Middle got them.
Well, and like 01, 02, 03, Vanderbilt got beat by West Counts.
Yeah.
The blocked field goal in 2005 when Vanderbilt was 4-0 and Middle
and
blocked the field goal.
Their season.
It totally wrecked their season. And they got redemption because they beat Tennessee and Neyland at the end of the season. But they were 4-0, man. And Cutler was rolling. And Vanderbilt had an easy kick to beat MTSU, and they blocked the kick.
That was just wild.
Oh, it was huge. And that was.
And they were so, like, just devastated after that.
We went crazy.
Who did they play after? That was 04?
05.
05.
We had a bunch of Middle fans up in the corner of the end zone, and they blocked it because we thought the game was over with. And the whole thing was like, typical Vandy. Here's what happens again. And then – but that was Andy McCollum's last year, and then Bobby Johnson was over at Vanderbilt. But those things happen, and I don't know. That was a fun game, and My goodness, yes. But anyway, in the 15, 16, 17,
yeah, they got trounced by LSU the next week, 34-6.
Vandy?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then lost to Georgia, 34-17. Lost 35-28 South Carolina. You remember this, Florida, they lost in overtime.
Was that the that was not the Earl Bennett? Remember he got called for celebration? That was in 07, I think, was. Or 08, one of those seasons down
there.
They
lost to Kentucky, 48-43, and then go up to Knoxville and beat Tennessee.
Yep. That was a heck of a...
Did we break another chair?
Chase, it's not like I weigh 100 pounds. I'm trying. There we go.
I think Rex Road started that.
Okay. We love a little Rex Road. I think that game in Knoxville in 05 is, I know it wasn't Tennessee's best team, but I'm telling you, man, Cutler on that drive in the fourth quarter was magnificent. They knew he was throwing the ball to Earl Bennett, and he delivered bullets the entire way down the field, and they ended up winning the game. That was a hell of an effort. That's the first time they'd beaten Tennessee, God, since 82, and the first time they'd beaten them in Neyland. I can't even remember the last time they did that. So that was a lot of fun. College football, baby.
Can't
wait. Next week, next Saturday is the first couple of games that pop off, and then 2 weeks of 31st.
Oh, is next rolling. Saturday the Ireland game?
Yes, it is. Yeah, there's a few will pop. There's only like four or five games that day. And then the 31st is when things start rolling for real, man. 2 weeks.
I can't wait.
I mean, 16 days.
Did you look at – so I saw this on Twitter or on X. I think it's October 12th is like the greatest day in college football history. Like, if you look at the schedule.
Oh, yeah. It's like the don't get married that day.
Yeah. It's like – and so I saw, like, Barstool posted, like, you know, would you go to the wedding? It's like they'd have to be, like, really close family for me to do that.
Let me tell you, and I'm telling this right now, as a father of a beautiful girl who got married the first Saturday in November, you do what your girl wants.
I know.
You know, I'm telling you right now. My daughter, when she said, hey, we're getting married November the 6th, I was like, she gets a perfect day. And then I was like, all right, sweetheart, I love you, whatever you need.
Whatever you want to do.
Here's my checkbook. Let's get it done. I'm telling you, we laugh about that and all that stuff. But if your daughter comes to you and says, I'm getting married on this day, your daughter's getting married on that day.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. So Mississippi State at Georgia. Okay, whatever. Ohio State at Oregon.
At Oregon. Oh, yes.
Ole Miss at LSU.
Oh.
Penn State at USC.
Oh, at USC. Oh, okay.
Florida at Tennessee.
Good gosh. Keep going.
Vandy, Kentucky, which, yeah, I mean, okay. You know, whatever. Cal at Pitt. That could be good. I'm trying to find more ranked. Those were the big ones. Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah.
That's a pretty loaded day.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Keep your eye on Notre Dame and Stanford, by the way.
Notre Dame. Yeah.
I will not. Stanford's not any good.
Dr. Crane just told you to keep your eye on it. We listen to Dr. Crane.
Dr. Crane, I'm really – of all those games, of course, the Red River – I'm going to call it the Red River Shootout is still fantastic. But Penn State at USC, that's pretty good, man. I hope that's a night game, because that would be fantastic to watch that. Penn State at USC. Hope USC kicks Jimmy Frank's ass up and down the field.
Robbie Stanley just texted me, and I remember this. I got married the day of Bama LSU, Tua versus Burrow. Good call by us. What was funny about that is Robbie's brother had a side room in the venue that had a TV, and so everybody was going in there to watch the game.
Excellent, as they should.
Oh, yeah.
Great. I mean, think of that, Robbie. I mean, he's not, you know, his beautiful wife. Let's get married this day. You're not going to say, we laugh about it, but you're not moving that day, and it's the day of your wedding.
For sure. 615
737-1025.
We're live at Titans practice. They're coming out on the field. Get ready to go. We'll have more coming next. 1025, 1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Here on this TV theme Thursday, we're at Titans training camp. Players are on the field getting ready to go. quarterbacks and receivers in front of us.
Beautiful day out here. All right, so we got our question of the day is, what do you think is the most iconic sports photo of all time? You guys are great seeing a lot of these in. Rick, thank you for the picture about Miracle on Ice when they're holding the flag.
That's a good one.
That's a great, great picture. So keep them coming, 615-737-1025. Here's my question for you, Chase McCabe. Another question you guys can weigh in. How old is too old to come get autographs?
Ooh.
I'm not besmirching anybody who comes under. There are some older gentlemen out here today. How old is too old? Right? One guy's got six helmets, and they're attached to like a fishing line. And I bet he's my age, 55, 60, right in that neighborhood. I'm just curious.
I don't know. That's a good question.
What age is do you say enough is enough? I don't know. I don't get autographs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there really is a I don't know. That's a tough question.
Is it not? I mean, if you do it, that's fine. I got no problem.
I'm trying
with
to remember
it.
The last time I got an autograph.
But if you're, I mean, he's got six helmets, and he's out here to get autographs. And that, look, if that's your passion, but I'm fine. I want to know if there is a parameter on this, or not. And because I've seen, before, grown men push kids out of the way to get an autograph. Seen that. So I don't know.
It kind of ties into the. Is there an age? I've heard people throw out like, if you're over the age of 30, you shouldn't wear jerseys. And I don't care about that. Like, I wear jerseys.
Yeah.
It's just like, whatever. So
I'm not wearing another man's jersey. I don't do that. That's just me.
That's fine. I mean, that's your. But like, my thing is, like, I've had people that will criticize me, and it's like, you do you, and I'll do me.
Right.
It's like, you can do whatever.
Yeah. So again, let us know, 615-737-1025.
I don't think there is an age to be too old to get an autograph. If you're a true fan of the team and you love that player, I feel there is no problem. I would say it depends on the place where you're getting the autograph.
Okay. All right.
You're never too old to nerd out on the things you love.
I agree. I've got no problem with that. I was just curious.
6638. 13 is the max age for autograph unless you're a woman and get a rock star to autograph a part of your body.
13, yes.
Graham says those older guys probably resell them on the market and have like 50 different options on him.
Oh, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. Because some come out here with things. Some of the items these guys bring out here are really cool. Like we saw that. Matted, was it a half yeah. Titans, half Oilers helmet?
Yeah.
That's really cool. I get all that, but I'm not standing in line for autographs at all,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like to each their own.
The last autograph I got was Ken Stabler, and that was 30-something years ago, and that was a special occasion. So, again, it's fine if you want to do it. I'm all for it, man. I'm just curious.
Dylan, is getting a photo with a player any different than getting an autograph? I think photos are different.
That's a great
question. It's a good question. But I think photos are different.
It's a great question.
Like, see, that's the cool thing with what we do. A lot of times, we do get in a position where we can get a photo with somebody.
Yeah.
That comes to the studio or whatever. But,
right.
We don't ask for autographs.
Well, zero. I got that photo with Joe Theismann a month ago.
Yeah.
And we were talking. He's like, hey, you want to get a photo? I'm like, yeah. He's the one that kind of put it out there.
Sure.
So we took the photo. It's Joe Theismann. My gosh.
Right.
I'd do that.
Don't forget about Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, but I'm not purple like Terry Bradshaw. I did not get his autograph. Did you get his autograph that night, Nick?
No, I didn't even get to, stand 6 feet near him.
Security kept him away.
But yeah. That night with Terry Bradshaw, Dr. Crane, who was the biggest star that night?
Joe Dubin. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That was the quickest three questions that I've ever heard in my life.
I asked three questions for Terry Bradshaw. He talked for an hour and 59 minutes. That was fantastic.
I'm seeing a lot of former Titan players walk in here.
Who else you got here today?
Is that Mark Mariani?
That is Mark Mariani with his child, with his young man, or somebody.
No, he's just talking about
friends. Okay. Yeah, we saw Matt Hasselbeck was over here.
Yep. And Tim.
Tim, why not come out here and check it out? Jeff Fisher was here today, making the round, strutting. All we're missing out here today is Hope Hines.
Hope Hines. And Paul Kearse. Everybody, Hope Hines.
That's all we're missing out here today.
Michael and Madison, I got Will Levis to sign a jar of Hellman's Mayo last year before the season started. I was 25 at the time, and I'm older than Levis. I think it's just situational, depending on what you're getting signed and the reasoning behind it. I think that's pretty fantastic.
Fine, yeah. Yeah, I just didn't know, I mean, if there was an unwritten rule of an age of like, all right, once you hit 50, you can't do that. But
here's the thing. I think as a society, we try and make too many rules on too many different things, which at the end of the day, just live your life.
Have you seen the video when Saban, when they opened for autographs during fall practice and all the Alabama fans take off running across the field and they fall down and all that? See, I wish I had the passion of that.
Yeah.
For a sports team. I love sports. I love football so much. I don't have a favorite team per se, so I'm always jealous of those who have that favorite team and who, you know, grab the RV and will follow LSU for 12 games. I mean, I wish I could do that. I wish you really wish I could do all that.
B-Man says, I tried to get Big Joe's autograph, and he told me to scram, kid. I'm 45.
No, I told you to screw off, not scram. I told you to get out of there.
let's see. 615-737-1025. Jack wants to weigh in on autographs. Jack, welcome in.
Yeah, I'm not an autograph guy.
What's up, Jack?
Hey, I'm good. How you fellas doing?
We're good.
There? Good, man.
So you're not an autograph guy.
No, not an autograph guy. But on the other hand, anybody getting six helmets signed, I wouldn't be too surprised if they show up on eBay somewhere down the line.
Yeah. 100%. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack. Yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, most of these will end up someplace else.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, look, you know, over the years, I've gotten stuff that either I had before I got into this or, you know, like I have a T. Martin signed UT football that I got at a charity auction.
Oh, nice.
You know. Which is cool.
Yeah, and that's the thing I learned early on, and you know, when I started out in TV, I'm really grateful because I worked for John Dwyer for a year, and I didn't know anything about locker rooms, and John's like, do not use your position to get things for yourself.
Right.
I was like, huh? He's like, example, don't go in the Titans locker room with a football because you have the access.
Yeah.
That's not what you're there for. I'm like, I've actually turned somebody in. Going around doing that in the locker room because it's not what you should be doing. You're not out here to get autographs if you're a member of the media. You're out here to do a job and report. Don't want to be your buddy. Don't want to be your friend. Better to tell a story, and that's it.
Derek wants to weigh in on autographs. Derek, welcome in.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I got an autograph story. I don't know if you guys remember when Eddie George had his bar and grill a long time ago. Eddie was having lunch with a Alan Jackson and somebody from the Preds. At the time, I didn't know, but it was Paul Kariya. They were sitting there having lunch together, and we were there. And I told my dad, I want to go get their autographs. And my dad says, they're on their downtime, you know, let them be. And ever since then, I've just kind of, I thought, you know, it's kind of a scumbag move to go bother people when they're out and about enjoying their lives. I kind of feel like there's a place and time for autographs, but, man, people have no self-respect for people like that. And that's just kind of how I see it, but other people see it other ways.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. Thanks for the call, Derek. I mean, I try and be that way, too. Like, you know, if somebody's at dinner or whatever, it's like, let them be.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and, you know, we'll get comedians in the studio. We'll take a picture with them. I mean, that's a lot of fun that we do all that stuff. But as far as you're at dinner, I'm not doing that, man. I just, it's your time for all that. So Again, just curious. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025. Also, the iconic sports photo of all time. Great responses. The Miracle on Ice. Of course, Ollie over Sonny Liston. My favorite one is Jordan in the slam dunk contest, which is beautiful. Frank Gifford getting laid out by Chuck Bednarik in 1959 or 60 game. So a lot of those great. Is there a Predator? There's a great. Is it Mike Fisher when he scores overtime at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, something like that.
And he's going around. I mean, that's a great photo. There's a photo somebody took when he scored and the bench all went crazy. That's a great photo from
the
Predators.
There's a good one of Pekka, like, holding up his, I guess, when they won the game 6 to go to the cup final.
Okay.
Obviously, Pekka, his last game. You know, that photo.
That's
became
a
statue.
Right.
So 615-737-1025. We're live at Titans training camp today. Practice getting underway. We'll talk more about that and much more here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.